Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You fell asleep in my car, I drove the whole time. But that's okay, I'll just avoid the hole so you sleep fine. I'm driving here, I sit, cursing my government for not using my taxes to fill holes with more cement.
Hey folks, welcome to a Skyped in, fully socially distanced and remote version of the WSB Traffic Podcast. Doug Fireball Turnbull here, and, well, I'm here. It doesn't mean I'm next to you, okay? I'm in my condo in the Captain Herb Ballroom, as I like to call my home office here in Chamblee. I'm joined by my oft co-host and, of course, co-traffic compadre from the WSB Skycopter, Triple T Traffic here on 95.5 WSB, Smiler Mark McKay. How you been quarantining, brother?
Every day is Sunday, Doug. Every day is Sunday. Good afternoon as we're taping this to you. Hello, Herschel. Hello, everybody listening.
That's it. And you bring in our special guest here. He's a guy who's one of our most tenured WSB traffic troopers, or people that call our Cool Ray Heating and Air WSB 24-hour traffic center to give traffic information. And he's become a lot more than that. Not only has Herschel Evans become a friend, but we've gotten to know a lot about his philanthropic efforts and his passion for the trucking industry through his advocacy, through a truck safety team for truck drivers nationwide, through his pediatric ride for the cure event that he helps sponsor, and through the different convoys of care that Channel 2 Action News and our radio stations here at Cox Media Group have done. Herschel's been a key element in getting trucks paired with goods and getting them sent to places in need. And before we get into our main centerpiece topic today, which is about some surprising trends in the freight industry during the COVID-19 outbreak, Herschel, you've been on an aid mission yourself between Atlanta and Tampa. So who's that with? What company do you work for? How are they involved? And how's it all come together? And good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, buddy. Good day to Smiling. This came about through the American Logistics Aid Network, ALAN, Allen. And they are a nonprofit that pairs up other nonprofits and companies that have product that need moved places across the country. They connect up carriers with folks that need stuff moved. And if the carriers have what we call in the freight industry, we refer to it as capacity. If there's any remaining capacity on a truck, we'll provide that to them and move their freight for them. And the American Trucking Associations has two what we call show trucks that we use. One of them is the one I'm driving now, which is a 2019 Camo Mack truck that is on loan to us from Mack Trucks. And I'm pulling a utility trailer that was donated to us, and it's all wrapped up in show colors to promote military involvement in the trucking industry. But we took this truck up to just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, to feed the children. And Feed the Children loaded 20 skids of food, water, drinks, and other supplies on my truck. I brought the truck back to Atlanta, spent the night in Atlanta, and then left yesterday and drove down to Tampa. And in Tampa, we got to the San Jose mission that's run by Catholic Church Charities. And they have a food bank down there at their mission. And we unloaded these items there. The main purpose of their mission is they assist migrant farm families that go around picking the crops that you and I eat. And a lot of those people, just by the nature of what they do, are technical terms, I guess, homeless, because they pretty much travel from farm to farm doing work. So the mission down there is to give them a place of rest and a place to kind of refuel and relax. And that's what the food and the items that we took down there did, was supply their food pantry.
And personally, Herschel, are you donating? I get you're donating your time, and then instead of driving your regular rig for hauling trucking, right? You're donating your time to doing this, and that's your contribution. And then you're pretty much putting a charity in touch with a need. That you're a,
Yes.
you and Mack Trucks and ALAN are all a conduit to get the goods from one place to the other.
And the American Trucking Associations is actually who I'm, if you got to use the word working for, it's their truck being driven under their license. They're the carrier here, and the trucks happen to be donated to the American Trucking Associations from their member companies. Mack and Utility Trailer are the ones that donated the particular rig that I'm driving today, and we've got a couple other trucks that have some different sponsors and trailers behind them, but that's the truck I'm driving today. We refer to it as the Camo Mack
I
because it's
love it.
decorated up in digital military camouflage. It's pretty much an eye catcher going down the highway, but a big nice truck to do a job with.
And Camo
Hey,
Mac, by the way,
Herschel.
Smiling, is not the new order at Chick-fil-A, just so you know. They only have a regular Mac there, just FYI. Go ahead, Smiling.
Yeah,
Sorry.
still drive through. Whether there's a need, Herschel, whether it's a convoy for care or any of these opportunities to help others, you're there. Where do you get the inspiration for this?
I don't want to make this a church thing, but I'm a Christian. I believe, you ought to help your fellow man. If I've got skills and talents that I can use to put to work and help somebody else, I just think it's the right thing to do. I mean, I just, I got my first taste of doing this back in 1994 when the floods came through middle Georgia, and I had just hired on then with Holland, and there was a water company in Kentucky that had donated two truckloads of water. Two of our over-the-road line haul drivers donated their time to bring the two loads of water to Atlanta. Myself and another city driver donated our time to take the water from Atlanta down to the Civic Center in Macon, Georgia. And we got down there, and I'm watching a bunch of National Guardsmen who obviously have other jobs, during the week, and they're guardsmen, for the serving our country, but they weren't what you'd call skilled forklift operators, and you could tell they weren't. This wasn't what they were used to doing. And loading and unloading trucks is my wheelhouse. I mean, that's what I do for a living. So when I realized I wouldn't talk to one of the captains, I said, "Hey, do you mind if I get on that forklift and start unloading trucks while you guys are eating lunch?" And he said, "No, sure, go right ahead." So while I started doing that, and while the guys were on lunch, I unloaded like two or three trucks. And the captain was blown away. He said, "How do you do that?" I'm like, I said, "Well, this is what I do for a living." I said, "This is my job." And he says, "You're not getting off that forklift." He said, "You're staying right there all day long." So I sat down there and unloaded, 10 or 12 trucks that day. And it was just, the fact that I had, these are the skills that I use every day to do my job, and the fact that I could now use that ability to help someone and make a difference was just, it was a great feeling. It was like, to me, this is just my everyday skill, but in this environment, it is a needed skill that really improved the ability to get items where they need to go. And then,
Bravo, bravo, bravo.
Fast feed, fast forward a few years, and for 20-something years now, I've known Jocelyn Dorsey with her association with the Atlanta Ride for Kids. She was our MC for several years, and when the Convoy of Care stuff started up, she called me and she said, "Hey, I know you're in trucking. I know you do, I know you do truck stuff. Said I need some trucks." And she told me what she was up to and told me what she was thinking about doing with caring for others and some local law enforcement agencies. And we got together and we had a big conference call, and we started the Convoy of Care with the assistance of the Georgia Motor Trucking Association. And we, now we've done seven of those to different areas. And the companies will donate the drivers and the trucks, and the law enforcement folks will donate their labor, and the listeners and viewers of WSB donate the goods, and we put a little sweat in there with it and put it together, and we're able to help some people. So, I mean, try to make a long story short, but it's an awesome way to use my everyday skills working, you know, that I use at work to do something that's, you know, that's just, it just couldn't be done without it. You got to move items into an area like that when you have a disaster, or when you have something like that happen. I mean, that you've got to get the items there, and there's no better conduit to do that with than trucks. I mean, trucks move 71% of our nation's economy, and 80% of the U.S. communities rely solely on trucks. And, you know, you've got planes and ships and trains that they have to fight over that remaining 28-29%. But trucks are the backbone of the economy, the mainspring of our economy. They're just, you know, this is how stuff gets moved around our country.
And you know, Smiley can attest to this too. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen a train, a plane, or a ship pull up in front of a grocery store and drop off some pallets full of groceries. Okay, so the planes, the trains, and the ships get them across the ocean and long distances, some quite long distances, and then you all pick them up and on a micro level get them to a different place too. So
they do what they do for the transportation industry, and then they do it very well.
Yes.
The planes move stuff very fast. The ships move stuff in large quantities, you know, much more cost effectively. And, you know, trains do the same thing. But, yeah, like you said, they can't go to a grocery store. They can't pull up to a fire station and unload, you know, 20 pallets of water for a community.
Right.
They just can't do that. And that's the thing that we can do that they can't do.
Well, and you mentioned it's 71% of the economy. So let's get into really what the heart of this call is here today. And honestly, Herschel, Smiley and I, we know you so well. We could talk to you for an hour just about all the ins and outs and charitable work you do. And you also advocate truck driving safety and the safety of other motorists around trucks, because those are, as we see nearly every day in Atlanta, there's always some kind of incident involving one of those trucks. And it usually can be a pretty big one, especially if people drive recklessly around them. But I want to talk today about something that you've just flummoxed me and surprised me with a few days ago, and that's the stats that actually where I thought the freight industry would be up right now and in high demand, much like healthcare workers getting places, that it's actually trending downward as a whole. And I guess with the economy being a smaller pie, even if you're 71% of a smaller pie, it's less. So can you kind of walk us through what's been a very volatile set of trends here in just the last 6 to 8 weeks for your industry, Hirsch?
This has been something that's, of course, you know, has affected the entire nation. This is much more than, you know, just helping one community. This is nationwide. This is every state, every county. I mean, it's all over the entire country. And the shutdown, I mean, I don't want to get into an argument about whether it was necessary or not, but the fact that it was done for a short time, there was a real big pickup in trucking, because every other one, the shelves start getting empty and the stuff has to be moved. But right now, what I'm seeing, the guys I'm talking to, if you're one of the carriers that is supplying the big box stores, you know, the Walmarts, the Targets, Lowe's, Home Depot, the grocery chains, the hardware stores, the stores that are still open, you know, they're moving pretty well full speed. But you take into account, you know, the automotive manufacturers have shut down. A lot of practically all of the suppliers that supply them are shut down. A lot of other factories have closed. A ton of small shops, small businesses, schools, and with them comes the complete stoppage of all the items they use, all the product they use, the food they consume in the restaurants. We've seen a huge shift in, you know, now people are eating at home. I know I'm eating at home more. Sorry, I'm eating at home more now than we ever have. Me and my wife, we don't have kids. We eat a lot of our meals out, and you know, we've shifted from, you know, going to restaurants to eating at home. So the amount of stuff that people are moving and people are using now that so many businesses and to some extent, even the government offices have stopped working and stopped using, it has, sorry, this Georgia pollen's getting me. It has moved its way down to where there's just not as much stuff being moved. And practically every driver that I know in the sector that I'm in, which is what we call LTL, less than a truckload. I tell people we're kind of like the mailman with an 18-wheeler. But in the LTL industry, practically everybody is pulling back and reducing their operation. Their drivers are being laid off, drivers are being furloughed, and it's not just one company. It's practically every company that I'm aware of is pulling back in some way. They're canceling the long runs that what we call the line haul drivers do. They're not needing as many drivers in the city to do the city deliveries because not as many places are open. You know, a lot of the places that we go deliver to, they're closed. So they're not using the raw materials that we normally bring them, and we're not hauling out the finished product that we normally haul out of their place and take it to somewhere else. So while everybody has to do their day-to-day thing, you know, everybody needs the grocery store, but not everybody needs the raw materials and the things that are part of making cars and those kind of things. So the slowdown it affects all of us. It's what trucking is doing is a real good barometer for what the country is doing. And if trucking is booming, trucking's moving, items are being moved, then you can bet the U.S. economy is doing the same thing. But when the U.S. economy slows down, we are going to slow down too, because there's just not as much stuff to move. Like you said, when the pie gets smaller, even though we're a large piece of the pie, it's a smaller pie.
Well, for sure. Hey, so there's been a downturn, but Smiley Martin McKay, I know you saw from the helicopter. And by the way, Herschel Evans, thank you so much for giving that insight. And I hate to hear the bad stuff of the industry, but Smiley, you and I have both seen still a good number of trucks on the roads, and you even saw a place yesterday that was packed with them, right?
Yeah, it's eye-opening. We were flying over Herschel, the big truck stop in Fulton County at Hollowell Parkway and I-285, and noticed an overflow crowd of big rigs in the lot. And our pilot, Bob Howdy, even noticed on the adjacent on-ramp to 285 northbound on the side there. What's that an indication of? Are they pulling over the rest, or are they just parking and staying put for a while? What's that perspective?
Any of those large truck stops in a metropolitan area like that is always going to be packed, because even with us, you know, pulled down, you know, the truck drivers, if they're delivering in or around Atlanta, they would probably prefer to take their break or take their time off close to where they're either picking up or delivering. So in a normal day where you'd have drivers that may stop, let's just say in Jackson, Georgia, and take their break because they know Atlanta's overcrowded. Well, now they might be driving on into Atlanta because Atlanta's not that crowded. So that truck stop in particular, and any others that are in, you know, really closely located to Metro Atlanta, they're probably always going to be packed. I know that particular truck stop you're talking about is a Petro, and it's part of the TA Petro family, which is Travel Centers of America. You can actually get on their app and look on their app and see how many available parking spots are at any one of their truck stops. So if a driver's running around the Metro Atlanta area, or even just the North Georgia area, and he's got a delivery or a pickup in Atlanta, he could look at the app and say, hey, well, the TA still got, you know, truck stop parking, or the Petro still got truck parking. So let's go there instead of, you know, somewhere else. So those inner city truck stops, they're going to be packed no matter what. I'm coming out of Tifton right now. I just passed a couple of rest areas where you'd normally see, you know, a lot of trucks. They're about 25% full. I stopped at a large truck stop in Wildwood, Florida, and got fuel. And where I would normally have to pull up and wait in line behind one or two trucks before I could get to the fuel lane, I pulled right up to a fuel lane. I had an empty fuel lane on both sides of me. So when you're out in the more rural areas, it's a lot more obvious. The inner city, you know, the downtown areas, the urban areas, they're still going to have a heavy amount of truck traffic. But overall,
Well, I was going to say one thing you two told me offline before, Herschel, is another difficulty you run into is just variety, right, with different places being closed. And
as far as variety, just the
For things that truckers eat, what particular
oh,
places?
Yeah, like if you're gonna like if we're gonna stop and eat, you know, with a lot of places where the drive-through is closed or the dining room's closed, you're only available to drive-through. Well, it's kind of hard to put 80-foot of truck through a drive-through, so you know that limits it. Another limit we've seen is I know that all the Walmarts now are closing at 8:30 at night. So if we're going to get there before you know they close, you got to be there before 8:30 when we're used to being able to go in anytime. And trucking being a 24-hour-a-day kind of business, you know, we need 24-hour-a-day facilities. So that has affected us where we're able, you know, we're not able to find 24-hour facilities. When you do find one like that petrol truck stop there on Hollowell, that is a 24-hour facility. So that's where the drivers are going to migrate to. They're going to go to places where they can get the 24-hour service. They can go in there 24 hours a day and get fuel, shower, a little bit of truck repair, maybe a tire replaced, and they can do it 24 hours a day. And now there's a lot of places where they used to be 24 hours a day. They're not. Restaurants included, they're not there. They're not available. So the ones that are available and the ones that are open 24 hours, they're the ones that's going to catch the business. They're going to catch that's where you're going to find the full parking lots.
Very, very interesting. And Smiling, these are just things that you and I as regular consumers, and I know we're traffic reporters, and so we have a more sensitivity to the roads than the average person. But as consumers, we just don't think about these little details for something so vital in our lives.
No, and I found Herschel's perspective eye-opening, and because of the fact that planes are grounded, because of the fact that automobile traffic is lower because the commutes have virtually disappeared since the work-from-home initiatives have gone on. But I would think, yes, the trucking industry would thrive, and in some areas it is. But Herschel, in others, you said it's really hurting. Have you seen anything like this ever before in your career?
No, sir. Never seen this before. I was like you just mentioned with the car staying at home. You know, if the cars are staying at home, so, you know, they don't need the gas to go in the cars. If they don't need the gas to go in the cars, you don't need the tanker trucks going to the gas station. So it's all a cumulative effect. But no, 32 years of driving, I've never seen this situation. This is just a very, very odd thing. A couple of weeks ago, I had deliveries. I started in Hapeville. Went to two places right in downtown Atlanta and then had a couple more deliveries up in Smyrna. And then my pickup was in Peachtree City. So you guys know enough about Atlanta. You know where I was running. Normally I would have went to Hapeville and then I would have went around to Smyrna and came in the northwest side down Atlanta Road, Marietta Boulevard. I would have used that access to get into downtown. I looked at my Google Maps and I said, there's no need for me to do that. I went right through the middle going north on 75 at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and never hit my brakes. And that was just the most strange feeling, you know, to think I could drive right through downtown Atlanta in the middle of the day and never slow down. And went right through town, went right up to Howell Mill Road and made my deliveries. Got back on the interstate at Howell Mill and went on up to Smyrna and made my other deliveries. Drove back down the west side perimeter, went down to Peachtree City, and never touched the brakes all day long. That's never hit any traffic at all. And then,
been blown away too by all of this as well. And I've been traffic reporting 16 years. Smiling, I know you've done it a long time. And I know we haven't seen anything like that. Can we talk real quick, all three of us, you as a driver, Herschel, and Smiling and I as traffic reporters, what the things we do need to watch out for? Because listen, we are seeing 30 to 50%, maybe that's a really broad spectrum, I know, but of cars on the roads, 30 to 50% or so, depending on the data, depending on the road, and that's enough to make it be wide open most of the time. But as you guys both know, that doesn't mean it's wide open all the time, and consequences can be worse if you're not careful.
I've heard you allude to that some of your reports where you say that traffic speed is higher, therefore you need to pay a little more attention because, you know, when you're going through downtown Atlanta, running the speed limit, you know, you've got to really pay attention. Things happen a lot faster than they do when you're sitting in bumper to bumper traffic. So yeah, there's that element to it that with those higher speeds and, you know, people have the tendency to think, oh, well, this is a breeze. I can just, you know, drive like I'm out in the country somewhere, you know, because there's so much less traffic. But it, when it does, you know, when something does go wrong, you're going to come up on it a lot faster.
For and sure. I think a lot of the speedsters, also believe that law enforcement is being used in other areas as opposed to just enforcing the speed limits. And they probably feel like they don't see as many troopers on the Georgia highways and such. The other things that we're seeing now are road crews. And maybe, Herschel, you can speak to this. I've gotten a lot of feedback on social media saying, okay, let's get those roads done. Let's take care of those potholes when the volume's down before everybody comes back again. Do you say amen to that as well?
Absolutely. I think that's a smart move. If the guys can do it, if the work crews can do it and stay safe, stay away from one another, if they don't have to, you know, work close together and risk one of them getting sick, if they're able to get that work done, I don't know why right now wouldn't be the time to get that kind of stuff done. And I have seen quite a bit of that going on. I've seen a lot of construction going on.
Let me add some context to that as well. So DOT was considering pulling back or doing even more of road projects. But one thing to bring into consideration that as they were kind of going through the idea of pulling back all restrictions and really knocking out huge swaths at a time is they still wanted the roads to be as delay-free as possible to not stop a COVID-19 patient from getting critical medical care or a healthcare worker getting to a hospital or even, Herschel, some of your precious freight like, oh, I don't know, toilet paper arriving on the shelves, okay? And so what they've done is they've tried to be tactical about it, and they don't just completely break down their closures at 3 or 4 p.m. They may come out in the middle of morning drive and block one lane, but they're not going to go and do three lanes at a time somewhere in the middle of the day to cause an unnecessary backup. And what we've seen, you know, on the Triple T Traffic Alerts app, our traffic team's been on this 24/7. They have on the weekends especially. I mean, Mike Shields, Mike Boozer, and Veronica Harrell, and a lot of people on the weekends, they'll have cones and stuff all over the place, all over town. But it's one lane at a time or two lanes at a time, and they're still not causing delays. And so that's kind of the happy medium they're trying to achieve there, instead of just shut the whole thing down and pave it.
I think that's a smart move. I mean, if they can get some work done without causing the backups, I think they're smart in doing that.
For sure. Well, guys, thank y'all so much for spending some time on there. Herschel, for your work as a public servant. I mean, I know you work in the private sector, but working with the American Trucking Association and the different charities, including those close to us here at WSB, and then for being one of those people that has to be out in the middle of it and driving all over the country, and that's not the safest thing to do these days. It's not the safest thing to do, period, but certainly these days. And well, Smiling and I and the whole traffic team, very grateful for you, sir.
Thank y'all very much. Appreciate y'all being there for us. And we enjoy what we do. We're glad to be part of it.
For sure. Any parting shots there, Smiling Mark? I miss you, by the way.
I miss you too, Doug. Herschel, thank you. Herschel embodies a whole lot of what we remember Captain Herb Emery brought to us, the ability to be a public servant and to help the community. And Herschel is a wonderful example of that.
He certainly is, yeah. And Herschel, I knew you knew Captain Herb pretty well. It's been 6 years since his passing, and I don't know if you've gotten to do this or not, Herschel, and anybody else listening, but I was brainstorming and trying to find a new way to remember him by, because, you know, we've done a lot of different things and taken different angles. And I got a chance to talk to AJC legendary political cartoonist Mike Lukovich. And you don't have to like his politics to love the fact, if you love Captain Herb, that he drew a pretty memorable cartoon remembering him 6 years ago. And so I talked to him about his creative process and how he came upon that idea. And it's a picture I'm looking at right now hanging up in my Captain Herb ballroom. So if y'all want to check that out, that's the last episode, the previous episode, I should say, of the WSB Traffic Podcast. And I've written a little bit about that and also about this issue right here about the curtailing and freight and the volatile numbers in the industry. That's in the Gridlock Guide for the AJC this week. So y'all check that out, too. But guys, thanks for joining us today, and be safe out there. And Herschel, thank you so much for still calling in traffic to us and helping us be more informed for our listeners. Because as we've seen with our ratings lately, we still have quite a few out there. So thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, guys, you've been listening to the WSB Traffic Podcast. Be safe, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Six thousand 638. 6,638 miles of graded road.
And a lot of gravel, too. And a lot of gravel, too. Every city has an airport. And a lot of gravel, too.
The telegraph system, they're owned and operated.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.